My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right. Big basketball day for us on this show today. Lots of Wizards talk. We had Jeff Capel on the show earlier, the head coach at Pitt, who coached Bud Carrington, the Wizards' second first-round pick last night out of the University of Pittsburgh. If you want to listen to that, download the Odyssey app or go to theteam980.com. Jordan DeJani writes for CBSSports.com. We've had Jordan on the show many times in the past. He joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, and I reached out to you because I was reading your list of the top 20 wide receiver rankings entering 2024. And Jordan, I think this is such a hard list to put together. It is the first of all, let me ask you, do you think this is the deepest position in the league when it comes to truly elite to excellent players?
What's going on, Kevin? Thanks for having me on the show, man. You know, I'm going on vacation in a couple days. I'm going up to Lake Anna near Richmond, Fredericksburg, kind of near where you guys are at.
Yeah.
And to celebrate, I decided to post a controversial list before I turn my phone off and no one can get to me. It's like dropping a grenade and just running away. But anytime you want me on the show, obviously I'm going to answer. Now, to answer your question, yes, this is probably like the hardest project I've ever done in my professional career because I don't think there is a position group that is as deep as wide receiver. You know, I was pretty confident when I was crafting my top 10, but going from 11 to 20 felt incredibly impossible. I mean, if you wanted to increase this list to 40, I think I could have made it work. But it's really tough because all these guys have different skill sets. They're at different ages. They have different quarterback situations. So how do we decipher who is really the best of the best? Who is the most talented pass catchers in the NFL? So, you know, after staring at this list for 72 hours straight, I'm just going to have to roll with it and defend it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the hardest thing to put together, and the quarterback conversation gets much more attention, but I think this is the more interesting one. And look, for us here, it's an annual conversation for the last 3 years. Where does Terry rank on a list of the best wide receivers in the league? And the funny thing is, and you just said it, like, you would have never had Nico Collins on a list last year, and you wouldn't have predicted that Nico Collins would have been on a list this year. And that's the problem. There are so many people not on your list that could easily be in the top 10 next year. I mean, Cooper Kupp wasn't on your list. And I know it was because of injuries, etc. Well, actually, Cooper Kupp was on your list, but he wasn't in the top 15 and he was after Terry. And I would assume he was much higher last year. Give me the one or two guys that you struggled with the most, whether it was based on where you had them or whether or not to put them on the list.
Yeah, when we're talking about a player who did not make my list that a lot of people probably would have included, it was DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, I understand if you want to include that guy in your top 20. It was tough for me to omit him, but I took Amari Cooper over DK because Amari Cooper, I mean, he just set Browns history. He is the first Brown to have back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons. There were several outings last year with Joe Flacco as his quarterback where he was basically uncoverable. He's been consistent. He's just a second player in NFL history to record a 200-yard receiving game for three different teams. So to have him in the top 20, I think is totally fair. Nico Collins, you brought him up. That was such a tough one because this is a guy who's been in the NFL for a few years, and previously he hadn't crossed 481 yards receiving. He hadn't caught more than two touchdowns in a year, and then he explodes in 2023 with C.J. Stroud as his quarterback. So, you know, I would have been fine leaving him off my top 20, but with this list, you also have to take into consideration this is somewhat of a projection. So with Nico Collins being that big-bodied outside perimeter threat with a young star at quarterback, you can make the case that he's going to be in the top 20 there. So that was a really tough one. Someone else who I would really wanted to put in the top 20 that I was unable to was probably DeAndre Hopkins, right? He's a very under-the-radar player playing for the Cardinals when Kyler Murray was injured. Now with the Tennessee Titans, went with Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, Will Levis, but he still crossed 1,000 yards receiving. He's one of those veteran players who doesn't get enough credit, and he can really be prolific with anybody throwing him the rock. But with his age and, again, with just how deep this position group was, I was unable to find a spot for him in the top 20.
Before we get to Terry McLaurin and your thoughts on Terry and his ranking, and we'll even go through, you know, the top few picks that Jordan put together, have you thought about the guys that are younger or in different situations in the upcoming season that could make a big jump, you know, into the top 20 next year? Because there are a bunch of guys.
There are a bunch of guys, and, you know, that sounds like another article idea I should really consider. So for this piece itself, I did not consider those guys because, again, I didn't want to go totally into projecting fantasy stats or who was going to get the most targets, who could be.
Are you talking about rookies?
Candidates. Well, I mean, either or. Some of these younger guys in new situations, yeah, or rookies. And I made sure not to include any rookies on this list because I was not going to project any first-year players. But, yeah, it was really more of the guys who had good seasons last year who are still on the tracks to be prolific in 2024, and then those guys who I deem as the best of the best, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just think about, you know, the young guys and what we'll think of the Marvin Harrison Juniors and the Malik Nabers, et cetera. And then you've got guys like Drake London, you know, in Atlanta, who will have a quarterback for the first time in his career. And, you know, every receiver that's played for, we refer to him around here as you know who, because it's a very triggering name, but his name starts with Kirk and ends with Cousins. And then a guy like George Pickens, who really came on last year, Pittman Jr., Anthony Richardson, like, they're just a lot of guys. It's an amazing position. But let's get to your rankings. Terry came in at number 15 on your list. Tell me why, and tell me what your thoughts were on putting him there.
Right. So with Terry McLaurin, if you told me before I started this project that I would have him at number 15, I'd probably say, I think I'd have him lower. I think he could be between 10 and 15, but ultimately I ended up placing him at number 15. Again, a lot of this really does have to do with projection. We've talked about Terry before on your show. I think he's one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. The fact that he's been able to put up 1,000 receiving yards multiple times with historic quarterback turnover, I think he's competitive at the top of routes. I think he's versatile. I think he's clutch. But, you know, when it comes to other players that I placed ahead of him, for example, Mike Evans, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, who has gone 10 straight seasons with 1,000 receiving yards, I think people can understand why I have him over him. He's an older player, but again, he's not exactly slowing down just yet. Puka Nacua was a really tough one to place because he was a rookie, but at the same time, he had a historic rookie campaign, so we can expect that he's going to be a household name for years to come. DJ Moore of the Chicago Bears was also someone I placed over Terry McLaurin. I don't think many people realize that he had a career year with Justin Fields and Bagent as his quarterback, right, going over 1,300 receiving yards. He's still under the radar, in my opinion. I think he's a versatile chess piece. Who knows? He may be wide receiver one for Caleb Williams instead of Romo Dunze or Keenan Allen. And finally, the one guy I had right ahead of Terry McLaurin was Jaylen Waddle of the Miami Dolphins. He is a little tougher for me to figure out because he's not the number one wideout for the Miami Dolphins, but he's crossed 1,000 receiving yards in each of his three NFL seasons. As a rookie, he set a rookie record with 104 receptions. And then in 2022, he led the league with 18.1 yards per reception with a career-high 1,356 receiving yards. So Waddle is the younger player. I think he's going to be a really good number one when Tyreek Hill is not a member of that franchise. And that's where it led me to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I think you would agree with this, and but I'm curious as to what the result would be, is Terry's never had a legitimate quarterback. He's never played on a legitimate offense, and that's been limiting for him. And your first line is, McLaurin may be the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. And by the way, I did not realize this. He is one, Jordan wrote, he is just one of six players to record 900-plus receptions in each of his first five seasons, joining Mike Evans, AJ Green, Randy Moss, and Jerry Rice. I don't know who the sixth one was, but that's quite the list there. But if Terry had been in a situation in the Miami offense or with a really good quarterback, where do you think he would be?
Yeah, exactly. I think Terry McLaurin could have a case to definitely be in the top 10 if he was playing with Kirk Cousins or any other consistent quarterback, if you will. I really do think he's that good. And that's why it was really tough to craft this list, because you also have to look at the players like Terry McLaurin and other wideouts who don't have consistent quarterback situations, yet they are the consistent number one wideouts for their team. So it just goes back to how tough this project was. But yeah, I mean, I obviously hold Terry McLaurin in incredibly high regard. And the thing is, there's quite a good reason to have optimism about what 2024 is going to look like. Jaden Daniels, coming off of one of the best college seasons in college football history at LSU, if Washington has finally found its franchise quarterback, then Terry McLaurin, when I make this list next year, God willing, Terry McLaurin will be higher on this list.
So you had Justin Jefferson number one, Tyreek Hill two. By the way, these lists are—they're made for this time of year, as you know. And you had CeeDee Lamb three. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked that you have CeeDee Lamb three. I'm shocked that a lot of people have CeeDee Lamb way up there. I didn't see that coming. Did you a year ago?
No, I mean, I did think CeeDee Lamb was one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. But if you told me a year ago I'd have him at number three on my all rankings here, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But one thing that, well, I'll give you two things that I really like about him. One, he kind of seems uncoverable. I mean, he's a home run hitter, and he's great at route running as well, like a lot of these guys on this list. But the thing I like about him is that he just gets better and better from a statistical standpoint. If you look at his numbers, he's improved on his receptions, his receiving yards, his receiving touchdowns every single year. That's pretty tough for any wide receiver to do that's getting the kind of targets he does. So that's why I had him over Ja'Marr Chase, who I'm sure a lot of people would probably place at number three ahead of CeeDee Lamb. But with CeeDee Lamb, man, I think that his career year is something that made me put him at number three on this list.
You've got Chase 4, A.J. Brown 5, Amon-Ra St. Brown 6, Devontae Adams, who would have been, you know, in anybody's top 2 or 3 2 years ago at 7, which just tells you about, you know, the need for a quarterback. And then at number 8, you had a guy that's been in the news and a guy who's been in the news in places like Washington as well, Brandon Ayuk. I'm with you. I think he's a top 10 receiver as well. Why do you have Ayuk here?
Yeah, future Washington Commander Brandon Ayuk. I mean, he's coming off a career year as well. But his 17.9 yards per reception ranks second in the NFL. And I think what really stands out about Brandon Ayuk, I mean, when we're talking about weapons for the San Francisco 49ers, a lot of people talk about this Shanahan bump, right? If you're a weapon operating in Kyle Shanahan's offense, like, you're going to be a lot better than playing for another team like the Tennessee Titans or the Washington Commanders because of who is orchestrating the offense and game planning and scheming up, getting guys open. But what's interesting is that you look at the target numbers for Brandon Ayuk versus a Devontae Adams, versus an Amon-Ra St. Brown, versus an A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson, whoever it may be, he wasn't getting the same kind of opportunities as some of the players on this list, yet he was still incredibly prolific as a wide receiver. So that's why he deserved to be in this top 10. I think he's one of the best route runners in the NFL. Good things happen when he's targeted. I think he was one of the best wide receivers in terms of downfield production outside the numbers as well. So Brandon Ayuk, in my opinion, is a top 10 wide receiver. And that's why it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens with him in this contract situation.
What do you think will happen?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, I will say this. We're getting to a point in the wide receiver market where teams are going to have to make tough calls, right? Justin Jefferson just signed that $35 million a year deal. Who is going to be the number two, and where exactly does that number come in, and what number will Brandon Ayuk accept, for example? I know CeeDee Lamb's waiting on a contract. Ja'Marr Chase is another name as well. But, you know, I think that he's certainly someone San Francisco wants to keep in the fold, but if there's a team out there offering a first-round pick for his services, what exactly is that asking price where the 49ers feel comfortable parting ways with him? So I'm more interested to see if he's going to show up to training camp. You know, according to reports, they've had a good meeting earlier this week. They both sides said things that needed to be said, according to reports. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
We're talking to Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports. You can follow Jordan on X, on Twitter, at Jordan, DAJANI. What are you hearing? It seems like almost everything's positive that we hear on the national front, and on the local front as well. But what's your impression, without him having played one actual game yet, of what's being said about Jaden Daniels?
A lot of good things. You know, I think last time I was on your show, we talked about some of the compliments he's received regarding his off-field activity or his work ethic, if you will. You know, he's a guy who wants to be first in the building. He's someone who certainly made his mark on some of the veteran teammates on the practice field early. And that's what I'm more interested in hearing about and seeing in terms of what he looks like throwing the football, because we know Jaden Daniels can do that pretty well. So, I mean, really when it comes down to him and where I'm forecasting Washington, I'm just hoping he can stay healthy, because every time I see pictures of him, I look beefier than Jaden Daniels at this point. So I'm hoping he can save his body, learn how to slide, because I'm not exactly a big fan of the backup you got in Washington with Marcus Mariota. I want him to start at the least amount of games as possible. I want Jaden Daniels to remain healthy. That's the main thing when it comes to the number two overall pick in this draft.
All right, last one. You wrote last week about kind of the NFL win total, over-under win total numbers, and some that you thought were a bit off. Give us some of those.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I did. This seems like so long ago. I talked about the Minnesota Vikings, right? J.J. McCarthy's fascinating to me, because he was not my number one quarterback in this class by any means. But I think that you could argue Minnesota could be a more favorable situation than Chicago. I know that's a take not a lot of people would agree with, but you're talking about throwing the football to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. And defensively, by the way, I know they lost Danielle Hunter, but they added quite a stockpile of pass rushers that I think are going to be immediate impact guys. I'm not saying the division in the NFC North belongs to Minnesota. That still belongs to Detroit. But in over seven wins for the Vikings, that's something I definitely have already put money on. One other team, and again, this project for your listeners was trying to predict the biggest win discrepancies, you know, where Vegas is going to be completely off on the line. These aren't necessarily my best bets, but I think one of the most fascinating teams in the NFL this year is the Indianapolis Colts, because they actually had a pretty solid campaign last year defensively. And they also, of course, you know, they were in that win and in situation in the regular season finale against Houston. They almost made the playoffs with Pro Bowl quarterback Gardner Minshew. But if Anthony Richardson can stay on the field through his very, very, very limited action early in his rookie season, he looked like he could potentially be that Cam Newton clone. So if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, how good could this Colts team potentially be? I think that's one of the biggest storylines entering this season, in my opinion.
Yeah, and their total is at 8.5, and you like the over there. There was one that I thought was interesting. You thought the Bears over-under number at 9 was a bit off. It was you have under 9 minus 130. I think you made a great point about Minnesota, certainly offensively, and some of the additions they made defensively. But Chicago would seem to be as good a situation for a number one quarterback overall to ever, or certainly in recent memory, to have entered in terms of what they have roster-wise. Why do you like them to be a bit disappointing?
So the Bears have reached double-digit wins just once over the last decade, and we're going to pencil in Caleb Williams to be the next C.J. Stroud immediately reaching double-digit wins. I think that we're being a little too aggressive from that standpoint. I understand why there's a new energy in Chicago, but, I mean, did you see the week one line against Tennessee? They're favored by 4.5 points, and a number one overall pick at quarterback has not won his first career start since something like 2002. It was a line that really surprised me. But with Chicago and comparing them to Minnesota, let's look at the coaching staffs. I mean, I think that this is the engine that makes the car go, right? We're talking about with Houston, D'Amico Ryans is someone who came in and found immediate success. So did offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, who I think was instrumental with the jump we saw from C.J. Stroud immediately at the next level. Are we expecting the same thing with Matt Eberflus, who is fresh off the hot seat, and then new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron as well? It's going to be on those two men if Chicago is going to reach those expectations. And I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not exactly optimistic about what they have in the coaching staff with Chicago. So it's up to those guys to get the most out of the new talent they have at their disposal. And at the same time, having all this attention around you is not always a good thing. So we're going to see if Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, if those guys can live up to the energy here.
Not to mention, they got at least four very tough games in the division with the Lions and the Packers. Jordan, thanks so much. Always enjoy it, and I loved reading your wide receiver column yesterday. Take care.
Hey, thanks.
Enjoy
thanks
Lake
so much.
Anna.
Appreciate you guys. I will. Thank you.
All right. Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports. Thanks to him. Thanks to Jeff Capel, who joined us on the show. And I played back the interview that I had with Ed Cooley on my podcast yesterday as well. That is it for the day. Back tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.